from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. The International Nuclear Energy Agency, IAEA, is ready to help Indonesia in developing nuclear power plant. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs reminds the importance of strengthening national human rights institutions. And now the news in detail. The International Nuclear Energy Agency, IAEA, has expressed its readiness to provide assistance to Indonesia for the development of nuclear power plants, PLTN. However, related to the construction of the nuclear power plant, the agency insists it will not intervene and submit the decision completely to the Indonesian government. This was conveyed by the Director General of IAEA, Yukiya Amano, after meeting with Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, A.M. Fakhir, in Jakarta, Monday, February 5, 2018.
And IAEA can assist if you decide, but it is up to you to decide, and we do not intervene in that decision. When a country decides, either Indonesia or Bangladesh decides to use a nuclear power, we can help to use some nuclear power safely, securely, and sustainably.
Yukiya added that the International Nuclear Energy Agency, IAEA, will support Indonesia completely because nuclear power is one of the most environmentally friendly electricity sources nowadays. Nuclear power has its advantages. Nuclear-generated electricity has the lowest carbon content. 1/3 of the low-carbon supply is generated from nuclear power today. The issue of nuclear power plant development in Indonesia has long been rolling. A number of countries have offered cooperation for the construction of the first nuclear power plant in Indonesia. Based on the Sigma Research poll in 2015, 75% of Indonesians themselves supported the establishment of a nuclear power plant as it is assumed to ensure the availability of electricity supplies. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs opened Jakarta International Convention on Human Rights in Jakarta Monday, February 5. In her speech, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, reminded the importance of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the Vienna Declaration as an instrument that has produced the central principles of the so-called human rights. The conference is specifically held to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the 25th anniversary of the Vienna Declaration and its action program.
Through this Jakarta International Conversation on Human Rights, Indonesia is proud to take part in the commemoration of the 70th anniversary of Universal Declaration of Human Rights and 25th anniversary of the Vienna Declaration and plan of action. The two instruments embody key principles for deliberation on human rights, namely universality, objectivity, non-selectivity, non-politicization, and cooperation. 70 years on, this principle is critical. In today's world, where conflict, organized crime and disaster around the world of often result in grave humanitarian issues.
Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi also reminded the importance of cooperation from various existing elements to face issues related to human rights, because nowadays issues related to human rights often cause instability of international relations, both regionally and globally. Besides holding the commemoration of the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the 25th anniversary of the Vienna Declaration and its action program, the conference is also held to evaluate how the implementation of human rights as a whole. Therefore, in this conference, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs invites all levels of society to attend and provide an assessment related to the implementation of human rights in the world. Human rights is one of the important issues in international relations that continues to become the attention of various countries now. Therefore, various countries in the world are expected to perform various actions related to the improvement of the implementation of human rights at the national level. One of them is through the strengthening of national human rights institutions. This was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs in her speech at Jakarta International Conversation on Human Rights in Jakarta Monday, February 5, 2018.
Concrete action at the national level should be undertaken, legislative and institutional framework in the field of human rights must be pursued, the human rights agendas must be mainstream at the central and local government, national human rights institution must be strengthened. Human rights campaign and education must be intensified.
Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi added that Indonesia for two decades has been trying to continue to strengthen the implementation of human rights at the national level. According to her, the National Plan on Human Rights in Indonesia has reached the fourth generation since 1998 and will continue to be updated. At the international level, Indonesia itself, up to now, through its peace and humanitarian diplomacy, continues to play an active role in promoting human rights and cooperation on the issue. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Army Chief of Staff General Mulyono opened Army Leadership Meeting 2018 at Indonesian Army Headquarters in Jakarta on Monday, February 5, 2018. The meeting, held annually, was to explain the agenda in the meeting and to convey policies formulated by the Indonesian Army Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto. General Mulyono explained the readiness of the Army in facing 2018 simultaneous regional held election or Pilkada and the 2019 presidential election. General Mulyono said the neutrality of the Indonesian Army, which is in accordance with the direction of the commander of the Indonesian military, is a must and cannot be negotiable. In fact, it becomes a commitment to be fought for. Mulyono assures that the soldiers will not conduct a black campaign to win a contestant at the Democracy Party. The municipal government of Palembang in South Sumatra opened two new travel destinations in the city on Sunday, February 4. The areas are Tepian Sekanak Bersolek and the Mural Village of Gudang Bonjiet. Palembang Tourism Department Head Isnaini Madani said the two new destinations are among the city's top 13 travel spots being promoted ahead of the 18th Asian Games. Palembang will host the regional sports event in August. Isnaini said that the two new tourism spots have received high public attention through social media. The areas are quite colorful and accommodating to the public's love of taking selfies. Tepian Sekanak Bersolek and the Mural Village of Gudang Bonjiet are built using a CSR fund from PT ICI Paint Indonesia. Isnaini said that the city workers and university student volunteers helped with the painting job. He added that Tepian Sekanak Bersolek also becomes a pilot project to decorate and revitalize all rivers in Palembang. And the last item, a 5.3 magnitude earthquake struck off Sika, East Nusa Tenggara Province, NTT, around 3:55 a.m. Central Indonesia Time. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BMKJ informed the earthquake's epicenter location was at 80 kilometers of Saudi Sika Regency. Head of the agency of Kupang and also coordinator of BMKG East Nusa Tenggara, Hasanuddin, on Monday, February 5, in Kupang, said that the earthquake's epicentrum is at around Sika Regency. The epicentrum was at 9.16 degrees south latitude and 122.51 degrees east longitude. It was located under the sea at a distance of 47 kilometers of Hapang City, Sika District, in a depth of 138 kilometers. Based on the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BMKG's map, the impact of the earthquake will potentially affect the other areas as well. Some of the areas are Lia, Ende, Sika, Botang, and Waingapu. East Sumba on the second scale of SIG BMKG 2-3 MMI. Hasanuddin added at those areas the earthquake felt weak and has no potential to cause any damage. Hasanuddin further explained that when viewed from the depths of its hypocenter, the earthquake was a kind of medium-scale earthquake due to subduction activity. Based on their tectonic map in the Savu Sea region, there is a subduction zone between the Indo-Australian plate against the Eurasian plate. The Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency analyzed the earthquake and said it was generated by horizontal fault activity or strike slip. Currently, the agency stated that there will be no aftershock. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. The International Nuclear Energy Agency, IAEA, is ready to help Indonesia in developing nuclear power plant. Minister of Foreign Affairs reminds the importance of strengthening national human rights institutions. And listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Ulamas Play a Major Role in Keeping Diversity and Unity of Indonesia. Well listener, Indonesia is a country that lives in diversity, having more than 10,100 regional languages, 714 tribes and 6 official religions, namely Islam, Catholicism, Protestantism, Hinduism, Buddhism and Confucianism. This diversity and difference, of course, requires a sense of mutual understanding. Otherwise, it will lead to friction that sometimes triggers disunity. Islam becomes the majority religion with the number of believers in Indonesia reaching 88%. However, this does not mean that Islam controls all aspects of socio-political life, nation and state. Muslims in Indonesia are very concerned about harmony among religious followers and they have a high tolerance of other faiths. So far, Islamic scholars or ulamas had been considered very instrumental in maintaining harmony and diversity in Indonesia. Throughout the history of the founding of Indonesia, they had been able to maintain the unity of the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. Their contribution in maintaining unity is unquestionable. It is not surprising that President Joko Widodo in his speech at Hall Majmud, Masyad at Pesantren or Pompes, Salapia, Sapia, Sukarejo, Situbondo is Chap on Saturday, said that the preserving of Indonesian diversity is due to the major role of the ulamas. The role of the ulamas became a decisive factor in Sabah heroic events prior to and after the proclamation of Indonesian independence. Ahead of the proclamation of independence, the involvement of Abdul Wahid Asim, the founder of Nahdlatul Ulama, Indonesia's largest Islamic organization, in the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, has an important meaning in maintaining cultural, ethnic, and even religious diversity. The tough debate about the Jakarta Charter at the time could be solved well because of its broad Islamic views, without having to be threatened in the formulation of religious teachings. In addition, after the proclamation, when there were many separatists in various regions in Indonesia, who want to separate themselves from Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia, Islamic scholars have played a major role in maintaining and upholding the Indonesian's unity. Indonesia is a country with belief in one God, humanity, and a sense of unity. and it always tries to solve problems through deliberation and social justice. It is the duty of Indonesian nation to keep the state based on Pancasila and the 1945 Constitution as mandated in the founders of the nation who have struggled to fight for the sovereignty of the nation and the state in the sense of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika or unity in diversity. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History of a regular service Voice of Indonesia. While we start from an event on February 5th, 1932, is about Seven Provincias. The Seven Provincias event was about rebellion that occurred on Seven Provincias in a naval vessel belonging to the Dutch at the offshore of Sumatra coast on February 5th, 1933. Because there was a decision to decrease the salary of government employees of the Dutch East Indies by 70%. It was announced on January 1st, 1933. The decrease of the government employees to reduce the budget deficit was due to economic depression, which hit the world at the time. But the decision was resisted from no elements such as European, Indonesian and Eurasian civil servants in the government of the Dutch East Indies. The rebellion on the Seven Provincias ship was handled with the pumping of the vessel by Dutch naval aircraft. And the next event was in 1947 when Islamic Student Association was established. For 67 years, Islamic Student Association has created Indonesia. The association in Indonesia runs side by side. It can be viewed from the establishment of the association, which was initiated by Lapran Pane. And it can be denied that the Islamic Student Association was established when Indonesia was struggling to defend its independence. As organization based on the cadre and struggle, the association also proves to have a good quality cadres so that the cadres are able to fill some important posts in government agencies and participate in the national political scene. And the last event was in 1979 when decree to found temporary government of Iran was issued. Imam Khomeini issued decree of the establishment of government of Iran's temporary Islamic revolution. In the decree, he explained the purpose and programs of Islamic revolution and the government was requested to achieve the purpose. The main purpose was to implement referendum for determination of state political system, the implementation of general election to form the Council of the Constitution's compiler and the implementation of selection of the first Islamic parliamentary members. Meanwhile, Shah regime imposed a state of martial law and the regime supporters held demonstration against the establishment of Islamic government. Otherwise, most Iranian people held demonstrations throughout the country to demand the dissolution of Shah regime and the establishment of Islamic government. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with regular segment, My Indonesia. The topic of My Indonesia today is Indonesia and Cambodia agree to promote bilateral cooperation. Stay tuned. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno LP Marsudi, held a bilateral meeting with Cambodian Minister of Foreign and International Cooperation, Prak Sokhon, in Jakarta on Friday. At the meeting, Indonesia and Cambodia agreed to strengthen bilateral relations between the two countries, including trade and investment, tourism and regional cooperation. To strengthen the bilateral mechanism, Minister Retno Marsudi expressed Indonesia's commitment to hold the 4th Joint Commission meeting of Indonesia-Cambodia as the main bilateral forum to encourage the improvement of bilateral relations, in particular, the implementation of commitments and agreements between the two countries. In the economy, the two ministers recorded a positive growth in the value of bilateral trade between the two countries, with trade values of $492.75 million in the period from January to November 2017, compared to the previous year of $400.01 million. Meanwhile, Indonesia's investment value in Cambodia reached approximately $350 million in 2016, covering areas such as culinary, housing, transportation, and infrastructure. Minister Ratno also said that there is considerable potentials for Indonesia to establish cooperation in the field of health products. As both countries have a number of World Heritage Sites, Indonesia and Cambodia are committed to enhancing tourism and culture cooperation, such as through sister temple cooperation between Angkor Wat and Borobudur Temple. Meanwhile, Cambodian Foreign Minister Prak Sokhon said that he was present in Jakarta to reaffirm the common desire to further promote friendly relations and close cooperation between the two countries. Minister Ratno Marsudi said that during the meeting, Cambodia also expressed interest to improve cooperation and investment in pharmaceutical sector with Indonesia and invited Indonesian pharmaceutical companies to invest to Cambodia. On regional issues, the two ministers view that need for more concrete cooperation among Asian member countries. In terms of peace and security in the South China Sea region, the two ministers view positively the adoptions of the Code of Conduct, or the COC, for the South China Sea formulated in August 2017. The two ministers also hope that the COC negotiation is scheduled to be held in March 2018 went well. The two ministers also discussed the preparation agenda for the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Cambodia, which will be commemorated next year. This is the first visit for Cambodian Foreign Minister Prak Sokhon to Indonesia since he was inaugurated in April 2016. In addition to holding bilateral meetings with Foreign Minister Ratno Marsudi, Cambodian Foreign Minister also paid a courtesy call to Vice President Yusuf Kalla. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, that was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. The International Nuclear Energy Agency, IAEA, has expressed its readiness to provide assistance to Indonesia for the development of nuclear power plants, PLTN. However, related to the construction of the nuclear power plant, the agency insists it will not intervene and submit the decision completely to the Indonesian government. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs opened Jakarta International Conversation on Human Rights in Jakarta Monday, February 5. In her speech, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, reminded the importance of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the Vienna Declaration as an instrument that has produced the central principles of the so-called human rights. Human rights is one of the important issues in international relations that continues to become the attention of various countries now. Therefore, various countries in the world are expected to perform various actions related to the improvement of the implementation of human rights at the national level. One of them is through the strengthening of national human rights institutions. Army Chief of Staff General Mulyono opened Army Leadership Meeting 2018 at Indonesian Army Headquarters in Jakarta on Monday, February 5, 2018. The municipal government of Palembang in South Sumatra opened two new travel destinations in the city on Sunday, February 4. The areas are Tepian Sekanak Bersolek and the Mural Village of Gudang Bonjiet. And the last item, a 5.3 magnitude earthquake struck off Sika, East Nusa Tenggara, NTT province, around 3:55 a.m. Central Indonesia time. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, informed the earthquake's epicenter location was at 80 kilometers of Southeast Sika Regency. And listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's
listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will take you to Penjalin Island in Riau Islands province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Anambas Island is one of leading islands belonging to Indonesia, which directly faces with South China Sea. As archipelagic islands, Anambas Islands have enormous tourism potential. There are more than 200 islands which belong to the Regency. One of them is Penjalin Island. Penjalin Island is located at Palmatak Sub-District, Anambas Islands Regency, Riau Islands Province. The island has smooth white sand, calm waters, and the water is very clear. This island has its own uniqueness. There is a hidden small bay and has bow shaped like crescent moon as long as 2 kilometers, and the beach has around 50 meters wide. At the two tips of the bay, there are various kinds of forms and sizes of natural stones, which often become favorite pictures of tourists. In 2007, when Anambas was still part of Natuna Regency, the waters surrounding the island has been decided as conservation area of Sea Park. No wonder, until now, around the area, its habitat and naturalness are still preserved. If you like adrenaline activity at another part of the Penjalin Island, there is small hill for trekking. The trek path is quite challenging. If you are on the peak of the hill, you can witness the beauty of the island from different sides. Listeners, to go to Penjalin Island, you can access from Anambas Island. You can go by plane from Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, and it takes around 2.5 hours to Matak Airport. After arriving at Matak Airport, the trip is continued by using speedboat. The speedboat can accommodate around 15 until 20 persons. On the island, there is also lodging for tourists who want to stay at night. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Penjalin Island in Riau Islands Province. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is kasir, or in English, cashier. Stay tuned. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kasir. Kasir in English, cashier. Di mana? Di mana in English, where? Baju. Baju in English, clothes. Anak-anak. Anak-anak in English, kids. Wanita. Wanita in English, woman or lady. Kesana. Kesana in English, over there. Membeli. Membeli in English, to buy. Anak perempuan. Anak perempuan in English, daughter. Tidak ada. Tidak ada in English, nothing. Membayar. Membayar in English, to pay. Tangga jalan. Tangga jalan in English, escalator. Listener, next is a conversation about kasir, or in English, cashier. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between A. Rita and B. Nita at the shopping center. Rita. Nita, bagian baju anak ada di mana? Nita, bagian baju anak ada di mana? In English, Nita, where is the counter for kids? Nita, oh, bagian baju anak ada di dekat baju wanita. Oh, bagian baju anak ada di dekat baju wanita. In English, oh, the counter for kids is close to ladies' clothes. Rita, mari kita ke sana. Mari kita ke sana. In English, let us go there. Saya mau membeli baju untuk anak perempuan saya. Saya mau membeli baju untuk anak perempuan saya. In English, I want to buy some clothes for my daughter. Nita, kamu masih mau membeli apa lagi? Kamu masih mau membeli apa lagi? In English, do you want to buy anything else? Rita, tidak ada. Tidak ada. In English, nothing. Nita, kalau begitu, mari kita bayar di kasir. Kalau begitu, mari kita bayar di kasir. In English, so let's go to the cashier. Rita, kasir ada di mana? Kasir ada di mana? In English, where is the cashier? Nita, kasir ada di sana. Kasir ada di sana. In English, the cashier is over there. Di dekat tangga jalan. Di dekat tangga jalan. In English, near the escalator. Mari kita ke sana. Mari kita ke sana. In English, let's go there. Listener, to ask about location or place, you can use the word di mana. In English, means where. For example, kasir ada di mana? In English, where is the cashier? To
To answer the question, you can say di sana in English, over there, or di sini in English, here. So, it depends on the location. To initiate a conversation, if you want to ask something to someone, it is better to use the word permisi, in English, excuse me. You also can say maaf, boleh saya bertanya? In English, excuse me, can I ask you? Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern. In today's edition, we will present Indonesian keroncong songs featuring Indonesian female keroncong singers Sumiati and Gina Sadeli. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Bandar Jakarta by Sumiati.
Thank you.
Bandar Jakarta is an original keroncong song that tells about Jakarta City, not about the splendor or the sparkle of the metropolitan at night, but other sides of Jakarta. Talking about the beauty of the Jakarta coastal atmosphere, which is protected by a thousand islands. The wind that blows, the fishing boats, and the birds, that is the natural painting of the Jakarta's coastline in the late afternoon. Sumiati has dedicated this song very well, so that she has successfully conveyed the message from the songwriter, supported by her strong and distinctive vocal character in bringing keroncong songs. Sumiati is the sister of Mus Mulyadi. She previously worked as a keroncong singer in the Netherlands and returned to Indonesia in coinciding with the death of Bung Karno, the first president of Indonesia. Listener, now we will present another keroncong singer, Gina Sadeli. So let's listen to the next song entitled Setangkai Bunga Mawar. The song Setangkai Bunga Mawar tells the story about the red roses that became a sign of love. The song also mentioned us that the journey of love is not always colored by beautiful story and happiness. Although she quite famous and has brought many songs, especially keroncong, there is no information about Gina Sadeli's music career in the Indonesian entertainment world. People just listen Gina's good voice character in performing keroncong songs, like she has dedicated to you in the segment of Music Corner. Well, to conclude this music segment, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Keroncong Kemayoran by Sumiati and Bandung Selatan di Waktu Malam by Gina Sadeli. I'm Duka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. ¶¶
ikan pepes dari Cianjur. Kantongnya kempes, pacarnya kabur. Bangkrut dong selepok sih. Biar lupa kain dan baju, jiwa manis indung di saya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Sick and inflamed, like a rotting. There's never, don't ever, don't try to play God by judging and condemning anyone different from you. For God has not given you the right to be all mankind's judge and jury, nor the power to know the ultimate truth or to tell others what they must do. Weren't all of us created as either men or women on this earthly plane? Scattered among many tribes and lands, no two of them exactly the same. Why don't we understand and respect all our brothers and sisters' lives, rather than turn into murderous demons with our bloody arms raised?
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.